Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I think I've improved every year, and I think I want to just keep on improving and become one of the best I can be, and hopefully that helps the team.
Don't we all, Dougie? We all just want to get better. Just keep getting better every year. We just want to help the team. That's Dougie Hamilton, newest member of the Calgary Flames. Sort of, kind of. They traded for him, and then they drafted a bunch of other people. But for intents and purposes, Hamilton on the NHL roster. I'm guessing he'll make the team next year, probably. 22, probably going to make the team.
Yeah, he's still on the team, yeah.
So, they got to get him signed.
They own him, but he needs a deal.
That'll get done.
Look, you got cap space like the Flames have. I don't think the threat of an offer sheet is nearly as significant as what Boston was facing. Okay, we'll match it. Great. Bye. Yeah. Click.
That said, you'd want to get it done on your own terms. You wouldn't want somebody else conducting your business. I would guess this is a deal that's announced before July 1st, which would be today or tomorrow.
Yeah, best case scenario, for sure.
Hello, Ryan Pinder.
Sir, how are you?
Good, welcome back.
Well, I think it's welcome back to you.
What?
Because you were gone. I know it didn't feel like you weren't working because you were putting in such incredible hours covering Vegas. But yeah.
Time change is killer.
Well, that's
jet lag, time change.
And I don't know that any other flight on earth you would have been getting off to Calgary on the weekend and it was actually cooler than where you came from, but you found it.
Yeah, it was nice to get away from the heat.
Exactly. Oh, boy, it was 41 in Vegas. Oh, phew, 35. Yeah, wow. Jeez.
I can throw a hoodie on here in Calgary. No, what a week, right? Or what a half week it was for the Flames. They come away 50% at the NHL Awards, a couple of winners. They go to the draft.
Yuri Hoodler.
And, Hoodler. Didn't talk all year. Don't know why. Guy loves talking. Now, I don't know if he was half in the bag or not.
I think he probably was.
That's what everybody's asking. So was he gunned? I don't know that he was. Like, honestly, it's 2 in the afternoon in Vegas. That's 45 degrees out. I guess if you've had a couple beer, you're forgiven. But it's not like he was slurring his, he was just in a mood to talk, and he got everybody around, and he was happy to riff. And I'm telling you, what we had recorded, it continued. He wanted to talk.
Crazy.
So they go to the Flames, go to Florida, and say this about the Flames' new management: not a lot of leaks. You're not getting a whole lot of, hey, the Flames, I've heard the Flames are in on this.
Got a hot tip on the Flames.
Brad Treliving has has all of his fellas in check. There's not a lot getting out, as to the point that the deal was kind of announced, the trade call was going through, and the entire hockey world, even the insiderist of the insiders, were like, yeah, I think this deal's done, but we don't know what it's for.
We don't know who's going back the other way.
So give credit to them on their secrecy, I suppose.
And for all the, fist shaking directed at Edmonton over the past little while, I know a lot of people frustrated that their ineptitude and colossal continual failures have been rewarded with the number one pick. They were in on this. They had a package for Boston that was nearly as good and by some measures better. And I don't know if it was a Shirelli versus Boston thing or not, but he comes to Calgary, so suck at Edmonton.
This was 100% a Shirelli thing.
I think so.
What's higher than 100? Is there anything higher than 100?
Percentage-wise, nothing.
I hear guys say 100 and giving 110. Yeah,
110.
Yeah, because from Calgary, it was picks. From Edmonton, it was picks, and we're going to need Darnell Nurse. Oh, well, no, not crazy about doing that.
What about just picks? No, anyway. We can't do just picks. You did the deal for what? Just picks? Oh, come on.
Yeah, because that was the thing. As that's all coming down, you're thinking, okay, well, even still, this is going to be a deal the Flames have to make. They need some young D. This is the type of deal you're going to have to make. Yeah, it's going to cost you. But it's probably going to be worth it. Is it going to be one of, it's going to be your first round pick. Which kid is it going to be? Just don't let it be Bennett. It can't be Gaudreau.
Yeah.
It's probably Poirier. Maybe it's like, another.
It's got to be Poirier. I got a feeling it's Poirier.
Something, right?
People texting me like, oh, I bet you it's Ferland. They'd really love Ferland. You know, if Lucas is going, Ferland will fill that role. Yeah. Like, okay, that would make sense too.
And then find out very quickly. And it was one of those. What's going the other way? Picks. So then I throw the tweet out.
Did you break news on the weekend?
That it was picks and pick that I'm only picks going in this deal. And then I'm thinking, well, they said picks. Is it picks and a player? Or so then I had to double back. Sorry. Is it only picks? Only picks. All right. And then send it again. And at that point, it's like, well, yeah, it's a first and 2 seconds, which is just slightly better than what they would have gotten for an offer sheet.
Yeah.
This, you know what this is?
Theft.
Well, yeah. And
this is armed robbery. It's what this is.
But whenever something like this happens, it's the too good to be true. And I don't want to be negative because I do. I think it's an absolute heist.
It is.
But it can't be. It can't turn out the way it should, right? There's going to have to be some fly in the ointment here.
Well, the fly in the ointment's the contract, but now I don't he can't, think it's the problem.
I'm not sure. He can't play in altitude. Plays in high altitude, and he can't skate backwards. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it seems too good to be true.
He's got vertigo. Can't play up
high. Yeah, it's vertigo. He can't play. Falling down all the time. I'm telling you, because this is exactly what they needed. A young stud defenseman for draft picks.
And Young is understating it. He just turned 22.
Just turned 22. Your analogy on Twitter, turning lottery tickets into cash dollars. That's exactly what they've done. The last thing the Flames wanted to do was draft players with every one of those picks.
Yeah, they don't need 8 more lottery tickets. You need a stud. And if you can turn lottery tickets into hard cash,
which is what they did.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, we talked about what was it going to take for the Flames at 15 to even move up 4 spots? It's probably going to take that pick plus 2 seconds.
Or more, yeah.
So instead of moving up 4 or 5 spots, they get an NHL blue chipper who's already, I forget what the stat I saw this morning, players under the age of 20 or under the 21 or younger that have posted a 40 plus point season in the NHL.
It's a nice list.
It's elite company.
Yeah.
It's elite company.
It to put it this way, if Flames fans know the name but haven't seen a lot of Dougie Hamilton, it wouldn't be that surprising if somehow, some way he was your best defenseman either this year or next year. He's probably somewhere between Brody and Giordano right now in terms of his value to a hockey club.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that played coming right out of the draft. You know, with Aaron Ekblad, we heard this, not many defensemen come out having just been drafted and jump right into the National Hockey League. He's one of them.
And for the Flames now, here's a tweet from Steve McFarland. 6 players 25 and under, core players, Bennett, Monahan, Gaudreau, Hamilton, Brody, Ortio. That's an interesting little core there. And we don't know about Ortio, but the other ones, we all have a pretty decent idea of what
he's younger than Granlund.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's 2 years younger than Josh Juris. Maybe 3. It's crazy.
6-12, we got to jump, but we'll come back, obviously, more with this. Other trades that were made. And now, with this weekend, because they drafted 2 defensemen with their first 2 picks at this draft, plus acquiring Dougie Hamilton. What does this do to the franchise depth at the position, which was looked to be a weakness? And what happens now for them on Wednesday with July 1st? I don't know that they're shopping for D anymore. And in fact, some of the guys that were in-house that you thought might get re-upped, possibly looking for work now. We'll get into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Monday morning, 6:15. they're not happy in Boston. I don't know if you've done any intel on that.
Sour.
To the point now that, you know, Dougie Hamilton?
Never liked him.
Never liked him. No. You know what? Bit of an introvert. Teammates didn't like him.
I hear he has to wear contacts. What a loser.
He,
You wear contacts.
Yeah. You know what? He wanted a lot of money. He was asking for a lot of money, and we didn't like him anyway, so good riddance. This is just as well.
Hey, Dougie, would you like, how about $35 million over 5-6 years? Somebody has that work. No? Yeah, we don't want him anyway.
Seem to remember. Now, I like the city of Boston. I think there's something about that town that I kind of dig.
With a lot of heart.
I hate their ball team, but aside from that, I can kind of get behind. I can see why if you grew up in Boston, you'd be a devout Boston sports fan.
They've all won championships.
Well, yeah, recently it's been unbelievable. Good. But it was not that long ago, wasn't it, that the Bruins traded a guy who was really young and a high first-round pick and seemed to be really good, but they maybe gave up on him a little early, and then on the way out, they threw him under the bus. This Tyler Seguin, he's a party animal, and no one can talk to him. He's uncoachable. There's no redeeming value here. This is the best thing for us, really.
Would you believe that this millionaire 20-year-old wants to go out and drink a beer on off days? We can't have this kid. It's Boston, guys. You would all be drinking more than he would if you had his dough. It's true. It's the exact same thing. I got Jimmy Murphy coming on at 9:30 today. He was a member of the Boston Bruins, you know, daily coverage media beat reporter. We're going to get exactly into that. Just why this media is like this. Does this keep their ties? What about this new management team? I mean, I don't know how you saw it, but Doug Sweeney, that was like raw meat into a kennel. Oh. All the GMs. What's Don's number? Oh, someone beat me to it.
Here's one of the columnists with the something or other in CSN.
The Boston Keg.
So he's an online guy. If I were forced to render a prediction right now on Hamilton, most of the hockey media in town has referred to Hamilton as a future franchise defenseman. I'm not sure he is. In fact, if I were forced to render a prediction right now, I'd say he's not.
Whoa!
Good size, but doesn't exactly use it. Skates well, but does it ever really stand out? Nice passer, but far from special. Not overly durable. Felt kind of soft the way he carried himself off the ice. A nice all-around player, but where was he elite? Oh, I don't know. Half a point a game? Over a half point a game at the age of 21? That's pretty good.
Stupid.
But the one that's funny, and I know you'll talk to Jimmy Murphy, but there's a lot of guys that did come out and say, well, these guys didn't like him. He was an introvert. He didn't hang out with people. All this sort of thing. From the Boston Herald. Yeah, that's me again. Sorry. Every web page has something now, right?
This is what they do.
You know what?
They've ruined the internet.
I hate the internet. He's not a gregarious guy, apparently. Quiet. Quiet-ish. TJ Brody's not a loudmouth, is he?
Nope.
Pretty good player.
Yep.
We'll keep him. Dougie Hamilton, if you want to have the same kind of personality and decorum as TJ Brody and just kind of be as, or maybe Sean Monahan, is he kind of a quiet guy?
He's kind of known for that.
Yeah. If you want to come in and sell RVs like Sean Monahan does and just kind of be a quiet fella, you're more than welcome. We'll take you. We don't need you to be Bozo the Clown. You don't need to be doing juggling acts and disappearing tricks and in the locker room.
You don't have to on trade deadline day grab the coach's phone. Wide Dog can do the stunts.
Wide Dog's
you
got,
just play.
He's got the comedy handled. You just do what you do. Nice and easy. But it's interesting. That's the second that they've done it again in Boston.
No, and there's something to this. I really think whether it's that's how tight that group is in terms of if you're covering that team. This is how you get your keep your sources. But in hindsight, it looked ridiculous. They were they tarred and feathered Seguin on his way out, and what, he's a top five scorer in the NHL.
Yeah,
they'd love a redo on that deal. As much as we love Riley Smith around here.
Well, what Louis Erickson, Riley Smith,
and
yeah. Sorry, Boston. Sorry about that.
And I don't think they're good again. I think this is this wasn't Don Sweeney, you know, bailing them out of trouble like the Hawks are going to do with their cap situation. And I don't think it's, okay, well, this is the core we're going to build around. That looked like a rookie GM making mistakes on the weekend. When you pick that guy at 15 that you probably could get in the second round, like when they got 13, 14, 15 assembled, I think everyone looked at it and said, okay, they're moving up.
Yeah.
And when you couldn't move up and you didn't take guys high on everyone's board, that's just silly.
Yeah.
Why not trade 15 for 25 and 30?
You know,
the kid's going to be there.
When we get into the draft part, I mean, who's to say? Maybe Jakub Zboril is going to be the next Zdeno Chara.
Well,
Who knows?
He was in but top 20s in a few, but the other guy's crazy.
You know what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah,
one of those players could be a stud. But for what it is, it sure seems like there had to have been a bigger, better market for Dougie Hamilton. And for Flames fans, you're thankful and you take it. And like I say, you hope that this turns out even close to how excited everybody is about it. Because right now it seems like it's three picks. I get it. Net 15. Well, who was it going to be? Was it going to be, was it going to be Merkley or whoever was it? It don't matter. I can't believe we did that mock draft. Thanks a lot. That's the one thing. Hey, if you're going to be trading those picks, let me know before we go and do a mock draft.
It was interesting. I think this really has completely overshadowed July 1st and the trade deadline day. The draft weekend is now where big contracts get moved, where a lot of people you think would be untouchable become not untouchable.
Yeah,
I could not get enough of the draft. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, and it wasn't the only big deal. We'll talk about more of those when we come back. Right now, 6:23. It's a Monday morning. How are you? Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ah, yes. I believe I found it. Remember before the break? And we're going to move on. We're going to talk about it because there's lots to talk about. But newest member of the Calgary Flames, Dougie Hamilton, leaves Boston after a huge trade on the weekend. Flames give up three draft picks, including the 15th overall, to bring in 22-year-old 6'5 defenseman who seems to be on track to be a terrific NHLer. We were saying, remember the Boston media or Boston fans kind of ripped Tyler Seguin on the way out? Oh, well, this guy, he's a bad apple. You can't have guys like this on your team.
He was drinking booze.
It was a matter of time.
This
guy. You see all his tattoos?
Can't be trusted.
You can't have, if you have that many tattoos, you have a bad attitude.
Can't shoot the puck as hard, all those tattoos.
This from the Boston Herald on the weekend. According to one Bruins front office source, we didn't want to lose him. We tried everything we could that we could think of. So that's one view of it. And this is according, and again, this is from Steve Harris, who writes for the Steve Harris of
Steve
the Boston
Harris
Herald. In talking to one NHL assistant general manager, obviously not a Bruins assistant GM. And I'm guessing not a Flames assistant GM. So one of the other, was 28 teams, said this, quote, "It was surprising. It's obvious there's something going on that we don't know about. From what I've heard behind the scenes, his teammates don't like him. I heard he's a loner and sort of an uppity kid and that his teammates don't like him, and it was unanimous." Well, that's like you. You're an uppity kid.
I'm uppity.
Your teammates don't like you.
Teammates don't like me.
And it's unanimous.
That's 3 for 3.
Yeah.
So do I get a $60 million
We're moving
extension?
You out of town.
$45 million extension? Let's do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's maybe we're making making too much out of it, but it's not the first time we've seen.
No. And you know what? The more this happens, the more in hindsight, Boston media is going to look silly. And if that's what they have to do to keep their sources, to be able to call front office people and get scoops, then maybe that's just the price of doing what you have to do in Boston. But it's a little ridiculous the way they ran Sagan out of town.
The fan feedback line is open, 960-960 on your mobile phone. You fire him through, we'll get to it, provided it's not ridiculous. What round was Hamilton drafted at? Well, he was a first rounder. 2011 draft, 9th overall.
Whew.
So that's what you need to know there. And made the NHL immediately. Same draft year as Berge. Great draft weekend. I'm excited to see Wide Dog play less than 30 a game.
Everyone less than 30.
Barring injury, yeah, it should be far more manageable.
And the interesting thing was, it wasn't just Calgary beat reporters, but people from other places saying that's one of the best blue lines in the league. I remember 2 years ago, it was like the Flames didn't have a center for their lives. They couldn't, no centerman. And then this year, it's like, well, you know, organizationally, they're so far behind defensively as compared to forwards and goaltending. This is why you draft best player available, because you never know.
Yeah.
You're one deal away. They went one. They're one deal from being like, geez, they need another D-man. To, whoa, this is an immensely deep blue line.
I'm sure you guys have already covered it, but I've heard that there's indications Hamilton might be uppity. Dude, we talked like 90 seconds ago.
Might be uppity.
Chris Russell, she gone. You heard it from me. That's from me in Tuscany. So like when?
He's got a year left on his deal.
At some point, I'm guessing the Flames will go on without Chris Russell.
Well, or you know what? Would you be shocked if he...
He's going to retire at some point. He's going to stop playing. My question is, okay, if he is leaving... Which, again, he will. When? Like, before the start of the season? Before the trade deadline? After he signs another extension? I don't know. It'll be one to watch, no question, right? I mean, it's...
Well, you've got five guys that last
delicious.
Year played huge minutes for Great Burger.
Starving.
So someone's going to have to play on that third pairing, but I tell you, this, you can suffer an injury or two here and not be... in 30-minute Wide Dog territory now.
Pins, your boy Timo went early.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny. I just on the first glance stuff, a month ahead of the draft, I'm like, oh, look at this. The more we dug on Timo, the more it was like, oh.
He won't be there at 15.
This guy could probably flame out in a way. Like, skilled, but there were some knocks there.
Mm-hmm. The one being...
San Jose, right? That's what you said?
Yeah. The one being, okay, well, playing with one of the best players... In junior, Ryan Strome, same team as Connor McDavid, different lines.
Yeah,
this guy played with Nikolai Ehlers. Who's to say? He's a big dude.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. That starts a silly argument sometimes, because it's like, oh, well, he played with Ehlers. Well, guess what? He's going to be playing with a centerman in San Jose that's better than Ehlers, probably. So he'll be okay. Right? Yeah,
but that's different, though.
No, I just mean, like, to give credit that, well, it was only his centerman. His centerman's so good. It's like, well, he's going to play with good centerman in the NHL.
But if he's playing give with an NHL-caliber center in junior hockey, then it's a little bit different.
Fair.
If he's going to be playing with the best centerman in the world in the National Hockey, then yes, life is likely going to be very good for
him. If he's on Couture, Thornton, Marlowe's wing, I mean, I don't know that. Geez, where's Nikolai when we need him? He'll be fine.
Thornton will be dead by the time Meyer plays for the San Jose.
He'll just keep posting up on the wall and centering passes to the slot.
So we've talked at length about Dougie Hamilton.
Do we have a sense of contractually what it's going to take, or is that something that might be difficult to assess?
He rejected 6 years, $33 million from the Boston Bruins. Now, he may have done that just regardless, so that's 5.5 per season.
I think that'd be your starting point for...
He wanted $2 million more per season, taking it to a...
7.5.
7.5.
Meet in the middle.
I think you're not going to bridge him.
No.
There's no bridge.
5 years of team control left, I believe. Does that sound about right? Or would it be 22, 23, 24? Yeah, he's got four years of team control, I believe, before unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, and you're going to want to buy. I would think this is going to be a minimum 5-year deal.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You can go 8. if there's things to bet on, it's guys that look like elite NHLers before they're 22, yeah. right? It's not exactly rolling out, you know, a 9-year deal for Giordano that takes him into his 40s. This is a safer play than that.
And I'm sure the Hamilton camp won't want 8. And I don't think the Flames are going to play hardball at this point. So we got to get a deal done in 48 hours. Let's do this.
Yeah, and it's sort of one of those things where, okay, are you hooked on a per year number? Are you hooked on term? What's the catch? Because you can give more and less term to adjust that average annual value. Who knows? The kid wants stability and security. I'd offer as much term as I can offer.
Well, of course you will. But he'll never take it. Because that's not what players want. When they're 22.
If he did the max deal, that would take him to his 29, his 29-year-old season.
And won't matter.
Right in line for another huge payday. That's probably the perfect time to become a free agent as a defenseman, a 29-year-old.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Well, 25 is?
Yes.
First time possible?
The sooner you can get to free agency with dollars going up, you don't want to be making Duncan Keith money, right? Duncan Keith signed that, oh, that's fantastic. I'm making 5.5 forever. No, because you're worth 10.
Yeah.
You sign 4 or 5 years. He'll want 4. They'll probably get 5 because you'll buy 1 year of unrestricted free agency. They'll pay him between 5.5 and 6.5, I would guess, somewhere in there. Because, yeah, the sooner you get to free agency, it's still better for you.
Yeah, and I, my only thought is this. If you end up settling at 6.5 on 4 or 5 years, why not offer 7 a year and go as long as you can go? We're going to give you more money.
Because, again...
He might not
in
want
4 years,
it.
He'll be worth 10.
That's
and then you'll be, okay, well, 3 or 4 million that I'm missing out per year times 4 years, I'm leaving about 15, 20 million probably on the table by signing a long-term deal.
It's a nice raise from his entry level. We'll know that.
And that's the other thing too, right? Oh, he could be set up for life. He'll be set up for life from this deal.
No matter what.
Right? Like, oh, I got long-term security. Yeah, you're going to be just fine. Going to be just fine.
You're going to make Greek's debt in the next contract.
This one's from Rob. He was very upset on the weekend. Sent me a tweet, I noticed. Told me to suck it.
Rob.
Suck it, Boomer. Because I was making...
Suck it, Boomer.
I was making light that the Flames perhaps had pulled off a very good deal with the Bruins. Boomer, from a Bruins fan perspective, this is the worst case scenario. Clearly, cap issues caused by loyalty to core players forces their hand. I don't hate the trade on its own merits, but the picks make me want to throw up. Thank you, Cam Neely, for making me take down your jersey from my sports room. Rob,
wow.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Rob,
oh, no.
Come on now. That's not Cam Neely's thing.
Listen.
Just
Cam is a player. That stays up. Now, if you have Cam's blazer from his time as, you know, upper management, you can take that down now. But the player will remain... The player.
And when you look at the money they're paying players, David Krejci, $725 million. I mean, that's too much.
Yeah.
But you signed him when he was a 27-year-old center. He had a great playoff for them the year they won the Stanley Cup.
Get his ass, Seabass!
No, it's... No.
Not the player.
It's not. Brad Marchand has been making $4.5 million for a while.
It's all right.
It's okay. I don't know.
Bergeron makes good dough, but should.
But there's really no one here that's making OMG, lol,
well,
kind of money.
Chris Kelly's making $3 million a year. That's a fourth liner or a third liner at best.
Rask is making $7 million.
And he was the best goalie in the league for a year.
Chara's $7 million. Seidenberg is $4 million. I mean, $4 million is not terrible money for a 2-3-4 guy. Krug has been signing 1-year deals. It was, I don't know, I guess the Mark Savard thing, because they're going to have to keep some of that money on their cap. I don't know really where they got into this, I guess with Lucic and Marchand, both guys making 4+, when you have close to $10 million tied up between those two guys, neither of whom are your best player, plus a $7 million defenseman and a $7 million goalie and two $7 million centers. I guess that's how it happens. And probably a little bit of a cautionary tale here for the Flames.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, very soon. I've heard that Sean Monahan, they're wanting $7 million at least, and right now, going into the next contract.
So max it out.
And I would guess again that, yeah, max it out. Dude, guys, players are not going to max it out. Who's signing 8-year deals now? Since the last CBA was signed, who has signed a max deal?
Old Phil did. Philadelphia Kessel in Toronto did.
Was that in place post-CBA?
Yes, because it was last summer. It's max term. So if you're Monahan's agent, if it's, well, geez, you know, we're only going to get about 5.5, 6.5, 7.5 on, you still have leverage as the team. He's an RFA. So if you say, look, if you want to make 7, we'll do it, but we want max term. And then you're due for another payday in your late 20s.
Or you can take 4. Still take a bunch of money.
Yeah,
and then you double your salary in half the time. 640. Free agency. I want it. Well, you know, we'll say free agency for 7 o'clock because I want it. Because now what are they doing? If they were going to be going all gung ho and guns a-blazing for defense, don't think that's the case now.
Well, and I don't know that necessarily they were going to go crazy, but they definitely needed a guy.
But that was going to be their number one target, you would think.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you were going to see them go out and blow their brains out on a 33-year-old with big term and big money, right?
No, but
it was
going
to be a tough find to begin with. I don't know that they were going to be hot in pursuit of Andre Sequeira or Francois Beauchemin or Cody Franz. I just didn't see that as a great fit.
Andre Sequeira at 28, you wouldn't have seen the Flames going for him?
Well, it's just what he's probably going to command 6+. Like, that's crazy. What they did was absolutely perfect.
Were they going to have to be shopping for a defenseman?
Yeah. I just don't think it was that top tier. Like, their top four sort of seemed like it was there, but you needed someone to help out at least that could play 4 or 5 minutes, right? Either push Rushell into the 5 spot or play with Englund on your third pair. That's where I thought they were going to focus. But you're right, it's totally changed now. And let's keep in mind, they signed the Kladl guy, the Czech guy after the World Championships that may be able to jump in. Maybe Wotherspoon or one of these other kids could push someone for a job. But it wasn't like you needed someone to come in and play 22 to 25 minutes. Be nice, but
although
it's just
ideally,
super expensive.
Yeah, although ideally, if you could get somebody who'd be a 2-3 and then slide Rushell down, which is what they've done.
Yeah.
So safe to say there will be no big offers coming for upper tier. Even if you thought, maybe Cody Franz in a 27, maybe this is a guy they're going to go for, I would think those plans have been shelved. What are they going for? I have thoughts.
Okay.
Beyond that, we'll talk with Elliot at 7:45. But when we come back, we can do some of the other deals that were done. A lot of guys changing location. Huge deals. Like, if these deals happen trade deadline day, we'd be losing our minds. Ryan O'Reilly's been traded.
Finally.
The Buffalo Sabres, what are they doing?
Holy.
Boston, what are you doing? We'll talk about it. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
.644, busy show. We've got Elliot Friedman in 1 hour. He's our NHL insider. He's got a lot. He's got a lot to talk about. Do you like Christopher Stieg?
As a human?
No.
As a hockey player?
Yes.
Right now or 5 years ago? Probably tells you all you need to know.
This probably shouldn't have been as hard a question as I thought it was going to be.
No, you know what? It's an expiring contract, 1 year left. What is it, 2.2? Don't love him. He'd be fine. I just wonder where he plays on your depth chart. Is he a third liner? Do you not have a kid that could develop there? He's going to be gone in a year.
There's a few guys I'm kind of surprised were not traded or you hear are available and the price tag being what it is. Like a mid-round or a mid-draft pick, like a fifth
for
a Christopher Stieg. It's an NHL guy.
Yeah.
And maybe not for the Flames, but for some team, you would think, okay, it's not terrible. Can he be your third line winger for a fifth round pick? Yeah, all right. We'll also we'll save and we'll let him talk about what happened in Vancouver with Kevin Bieksa. It looked like he was destined to be a San Jose Shark.
Kept waiting and waiting for that. Well, it's done. They just a couple things on the Vancouver end they got to clean up. Clean up. They might get a little clean it up on Wednesday.
No, they won't. Wednesday's free agency.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the one time I got a great one.
So you can, I suppose you could do it to your friends.
I'll stash that for a week later.
I'll be kind of old by then.
We've done that before, though.
So who, we'll talk about the moves. I was going to say, who do you like from, like, who did a good job?
Do you have the shopping list of deals?
You can't do that with the draft. What you can do, we'll go through the trades that took place. Robin Lehner is a New York Islander. Islanders gave up their first
Sabre?
Pick. Well, yeah, Sabre for the Islanders pick. Lehner for Legwand, who I'm guessing is just, yeah, we'll give you Lehner, but you gotta take Legwand. Okay, I guess we'll do that. So Buffalo has a new goaltender, which they needed desperately. It's funny, we were talking with Rob Ray down there. Spent a lot of time with Razor, actually.
More than Rhett?
I might have spent more time with Rob Ray than Rhett.
Boomer and Razor in the morning.
But he had said, I'm hearing that the Sabres have a deal in place, or potentially are close on a deal, that would rival the Evander Kane deal. Turned out to be Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Nikita Zadorov. Zemgus Girgensons, or no, sorry, the Grigorenko.
Yeah, the Russian. Not
wrong G last name.
Yeah.
Wrong last goofy name G.
Can I buy a vowel? Both those guys.
Anyway, so they've changed a lot. They've got Ryan O'Reilly. They've got Evander Kane. They've got David Legwand. I'm just thinking of players that are going to be on this team to start next season.
Jamie McGinn comes over as well from Colorado as part of that deal.
And they have Chad Johnson with a year remaining on his deal.
Backup, yeah.
And Robin Lehner, who looks like he's going to be the number one, I guess.
And all of a sudden, you could roll 1-2-3, Eichel, O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart. That's a totally different hockey club than the one that we saw on the ice last year, trying to pretend like they were winning.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new coach. The crease is entirely different. I wonder what Buffalo is. I mean, we don't. There's so many new parts there. Would it surprise you if all of a sudden they were competitive? I don't know.
They were so bad last year, though.
Right, but they did no Kane, no O'Reilly, no Reinhart, no Eichel, no goaltender of any value. And Bogosian was actually decent when he arrived. Like, that's six guys.
Yeah.
And those are all six guys you'll see on the ice a lot. Those aren't, like, tertiary parts.
Yeah. It'll come down to Lehner.
Yeah.
Is he a number one? He's only 23. Is he ready? I don't know.
And the fastest coach to 300 wins in the NHL, or one of them, I think top second or third.
Yeah.
There's so many changes. I just don't know what to expect. That's all I'm saying.
Griffin Reinhart's an Oiler.
They did some weird things, the Oilers.
Well,
I didn't love a lot of the things they did.
Well, tell me what you didn't like.
Well, they gave up Martin Marincin too soon for Brad Ross, a guy that should have made it by now and has not, and a late pick. So, you know, with the fourth round, you're talking about, you know, you've got a 1 in 7 or 8 chance of landing a player there. And Ross should be a player already if he was going to be a player. Just looking at sort of the traditional trajectories, how old you are, where you get to. He split time between the East Coast League and the AHL last year. When you have a tough time staying on an AHL roster and you're 21, 22, 23, like that, you should be arriving, not struggling.
Well, you take away from that deal, though. They add Cam Talbot. Now, I put the brakes on this because I thought last offseason they did a good job at addressing their goaltending. I thought bringing in Victor Faust and
Scrivens.
Okay, well, they got a couple guys that can play, and neither one really gave much of a showing. And as far as getting rid of Marincin, who's on that blue line that's not expendable?
Oh,
it's
totally
a group
agree.
Of guys that it didn't work. So you move out Petrie, you move out Marincin, you bring in Griffin Reinhart. Darnell Nurse is probably going to make that team. I don't begrudge them for making changes on that blue line.
And Reinhart got passed and lapped by a lot of guys on that Islanders blue line. I mean, he was healthy scratched a ton. And a lot of guys in that draft year where he went, what, 4 or 5?
I don't know what to make of
it. He should be there as well. You know, it's, and maybe he turns out great and a change of scenery could be great. And all of a sudden the Islanders were way deeper when they added Boychuk and Letty to a group that already had some good players.
Mm-hmm.
But Look, if you redid that draft, he wouldn't go top five. I'll say that.
Fourth overall, 2012.
And look at some of the other D that behind him. They've panned out already.
Which doesn't mean he can't.
No.
And it doesn't mean he can't be a good player. They gave, obviously, the Oilers gave up the Pittsburgh first rounder that they received and a second round pick. So it's not like they gave up something. They gave up some two pretty good assets to bring in Griffin Reinhardt.
So what the second round pick, do you have the number in front of you or not?
It is 33rd.
So they gave up 16 and 33, and the Flames gave up 15, 45, and 52. And Dougie Hamilton's way ahead of where Griffin Reinhardt will ever be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the Oiler deal, because if you
I understand that.
Like,
I just
for the almost the same price, you get so much less than the Flames.
I don't think anyone would dispute that. And I think if the Oilers had their druthers, they'd have given up the same.
For sure.
But Griffin Reinhardt has played eight NHL games, to your point. Could not get regular work in the island. He'll play in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Is this the one thing I wonder, is this guy the second coming of Luke Shen? Big, drafted high, heavy feet. That's what I hear.
Skating,
the knock is on Griffin Reinhardt. Hmm.
And Talbot's interesting in Edmonton, too, because we saw him for 2 months, and he looked great in front of one of the best defensive hockey clubs on earth. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
You know? Like, you tell me. He looked just as good as Lundqvist at times, and then they'd win some 5-4 games of them as well. You know what? Like, I don't know that if you were really worried about the Oilers' net mining, that you're sleeping a lot better. They may have solved those problems, but there's few guarantees at this point.
The thing about it is, they did something.
Yes.
Craig McTavish said he wanted to do something. Chiarelli came in and did something. What's that? We need to do something on the blue line? Well, first and a second. Geez, that's a lot for Griffin. Do it. Okay? Do it. We can't continue to just draft kids. Do it. Cam Talbot looks like the best goalie that's available out there, either by way of free agency or with an existing contract. Do it. A second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a seventh. They'll survive without those picks.
Yeah.
Now they get a year of Cam Talbot to see what he is. If he flames out, you gave up three picks, and you've got nothing but young kids that you've drafted for the last 5 years because you've stunk.
Yeah. The flip side's interesting, though. What if he plays lights out? What if he goes Devin Dubnyk on you?
Exactly.
Well, then he's a UFA. And
pay him.
Well, anyone can pay him. If I'm his agent, I'm saying wait till July 1st. It's an interesting spot for that reason in my mind. Just if it's not like he's got tons of term. You could have a great year out of him and he could
and
be
see,
gone.
And see, I'd be less worried about that if I'm the Oilers. If he comes in and plays really well, I would take that and potentially, you know, have to either pay him or lose him, then have him come in and stink.
No, for sure. And you're right. If it's like Minnesota.
I know you're doing the anti-Edmonton thing, and I applaud you for that.
No, I'm not saying that. I think that's why they didn't get a first for him, because it was what, the second and the third that ended up? You can't give up a 16 overall for a guy that might leave in a year.
Slatsy. You're not getting a first for Cam Talbot.
And for the Islanders in that deal where they send Reinhardt over, I mean, what a great deal for them. This is a guy that couldn't crack their top six, and all of a sudden you get a kid, Matthew Barzal, that was in a lot of people's top tens that slid, and ding, you get him at 16. Like, wow, that's turning a ham sandwich into a buffet dinner. Like, this is well done there.
Now, see, on one hand, you discount draft picks, and now, because they've got Barzal, it's best thing ever.
No, I'm just saying, if you can turn, like, it basically, I don't know how much different Reinhardt and Wotherspoon are in the sense that everyone thought they would have cracked the lineup and they haven't yet. If you could turn Wotherspoon into 16 overall, you'd be doing backflips.
Oh, for sure. Wotherspoon wasn't a fourth overall pick, though.
Right.
Anaheim doing it again. Really like the trade they made in getting Carl Hagelin. New York Rangers, Carl Hagelin, pretty good player, now goes into Anaheim. He can skate. He's got skill. They give up Emerson Edom to do it. Edom was a first rounder, and he's one of those guys that, it's funny, they had those two guys that they took in the same draft in Devontae Smith-Pelly and Emerson Edom. Now both of them are ex-Ducks, but for Hagelin, he's going to fit in well there, And he was an RFA. Didn't seem like the Rangers were going to be able to get him signed.
Cap issues, yeah.
That was a cap issue type of a deal. I really like that move for Anaheim.
The other guy, the deal that somehow I never saw it breaking, and I was watching a recap of the day. Like, what? They moved this? Palmieri.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They got Hagelin.
Yeah.
That's an upgrade.
Well, they're totally different players, but I agree. I think you'd rather have
And they Hagelin. Got a second. They traded Palmieri to New Jersey for a second and a third.
Boy, they do a good job there. Eh?
I'm telling you.
And Palmieri was going to be Bolesky. He was going to be going to free agency, I believe, a year from now. So rather than losing for nothing, let's turn him into assets.
So I again, very quietly, and then they traded James Wisniewski.
We knew that was going to happen.
Who's the $5 million, five-plus hit.
That was my proposal.
Yeah. You don't want Jim.
What did he go for?
Anton Khudobin out of Carolina. Because Carolina picked up Eddie Lack for a third and a seventh. So that's that shell game. In Vancouver, they're disappointed they let go of Eddie Lack.
What are you saying? They gave away a goaltender that probably could start in the NHL for almost nothing? They haven't done that before. Someone did the math on this. The total entire... Here it is. The Vancouver Canucks have traded Luongo, Schneider, and Lack. Three guys that could start in the NHL next year. Four, get ready. Bo Horvat, nice part. Jakob Markstrom, career AHLer that maybe is ready to be a backup. 96 games of Sean Mathias, and two late picks. That's a Team Canada goaltender, a Team USA goaltender, and a Team Sweden goaltender. All could be starting in the NHL for essentially one kid centerman and a bunch of poop.
Well, that kid centerman is going to be a centerman for a long time, and he's going to be a star.
Agree.
And they have Ryan Miller.
So it's not. They haven't exactly crushed the trade value.
Did they maximize value? No, they did not. This one, interesting. Dallas, I don't know. Anthony Niemi is going to be a UFA. Dallas gave up a seventh to get his rights prior to. I'm guessing you do that in an attempt to sign him, which would make him the 1A or 1B to Kari Lehtinen. We knew they don't like Lehtinen, so Niemi's coming in to be the starter.
Couldn't trust him, it seemed. He had a really good year 2 years ago, and then last year, it's like, who's this guy? Where's the old Lehtinen?
Yeah, and the one deal that, again, Ryan O'Reilly goes to Colorado. With Jamie McGinn for Nikita Zadorov, the big defenseman, Mikhail Grigorenko, JT Compher, and a second. So I would say Colorado doing pretty well there. All things considered.
Although, who's the stud there? Grigorenko hasn't panned out yet. Zadorov is a nice part. They have Ristolainen and Zadorov.
I think Zadorov is a really nice.
So Buffalo probably keeps the better of those two guys.
But you knew you weren't keeping O'Reilly. And everyone knew you weren't keeping him.
There was 1 year left of O'Reilly.
You were going to lose him potentially for nothing.
Yeah.
And you needed blue line help. So you get a guy who's definitely going to play for you now. Zadorov, Tyson Berry, Eric Johnson. I would guess you got to have somebody that you're going to hopefully graduate in at some point here.
Well, they'll sign someone if they're smart. But they did some weird things. What was the other move they made, the Colorado, that didn't make any sense to me? The Soderberg one. Like, what? You bring in this guy and pay him for 18 months of hockey? Like, that's all he's played in the NHL? They gave him huge dough.
4.75.
Ooh. For what? A third line center on a championship caliber team? That's a lot of dough.
It's a little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
But you have Duchesne, Soderberg, McKinnon, Grigorenko, I guess, is now a centerman, although you didn't know you were getting him when you did the Soderberg thing.
And he's played a bunch of
games. You know what? I don't mind... I don't like the number,
yeah,
but I don't mind them going out and doing that.
No, and you know what? They knew they were going to lose O'Reilly. They needed another centerman.
They needed another centerman.
But if you look at the grand picture, they lost the better centerman, and they paid a guy a lot of money for a pretty tiny track record, and he's 29. It's not like you're getting a guy who's 25. I mean, once you trade that sixth rounder to get him, maybe you feel like you've got to sign him or it's a huge failure, but that... number made me wonder if someone was in the room with a balaclava and a gun.
So
like, how does he get that much dough?
That said, though, and I know you don't like him, but that said, what would be a good number for him?
Well, I just think Michael Backlund's a better player than him, and he got way more dough. So if you could get him at 3.5, I would have been happy.
Well, and I think part of that is
RFA versus UFA, right?
RFA versus UFA, and give credit to the Flames for getting Backlund at the number you did.
Agreed.
He had 44 points in 82 games and was not playing first or second line center minutes.
Well, Krejci was missing so much that he was for a part of the season. But, I mean, there was just a lot of not good years in Boston. So you're right. It's not a bad season.
The year before, you'd rather have
O'Reilly. It's just that's gone toxic.
But, I mean, the year before he had 48 points and 16 goals. This year, 44 points, 13 goals. It's kind of the going rate. Is it more than you should have? Yeah, probably. But sometimes you got to pay. What about the Flames? What are they doing Wednesday? Free agency opens. There are a lot of names that have been taken off the table. Guys have re-signed with their teams. It's not...
No studs, are there?
It ain't sexy, but what might the Flames be doing come Wednesday? We'll start to get into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.